Napa know-how.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
This episode of the Debatables podcast is brought to you by GlassesUSA.com. On a mission to change the way consumers purchase glasses, GlassesUSA.com was created on one simple belief: eyewear shouldn't break the bank. The smart way to buy glasses, GlassesUSA.com allows consumers to purchase eyewear from the convenience of their homes, offering a wide variety of high-quality frames and lenses at an affordable price with absolutely no risk. They offer quality prescription glasses online at affordable prices that save the customer up to 70% off retail prices. Yes, you, the customer, 70% off retail prices. A complete pair of glasses, frames, and lenses included, start at just $48. Using the promo code Almighty, A-L-M-I-G-H-T-Y, at checkout, you will receive a special promotion from GlassesUSA.com for listening. Free prescription lenses are included with every frame. So head to GlassesUSA.com. There you have a wide variety of selection, over 2,500 styles, from in-house brands like Muse and Amelia E to designer brands like Ray-Ban and Oakley. Any type of glasses you are looking for or need, GlassesUSA.com is there. Remember to use the promo code Almighty at checkout, and you'll receive an exclusive offer only good enough for our listeners.
Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it.
Hashtag free Bobby Portis. Yes, you have stumbled across the Debatables podcast. My name is Jordan Malley, and we are brought to you by Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about the trade deadline, touch on a little bit of the All-Star game, talk about the horrendous move by the Sacramento Kings to trade DeMarcus Cousins, and ultimately the losers in that trade. We'll talk about that, which happened a few days ago. Talk about some other things happening around the league with the trade deadline looming on Thursday. Maybe whether or not Jimmy Butler stays, whether he goes, what type of value he could bring, and what kind of impact DeMarcus Cousins really had and this type of trade had on whether Jimmy stays or goes. And if you're thinking, well, how could those two be related? Just wait for later in the episode. We'll be talking a little bit about that. But I want to start off with the All-Star game. I don't know about you guys, but to me, I don't normally watch the All-Star Game festivities. I'll usually watch the dunk contest, the three-point contest, and the skills challenge. I like those. I think those are pretty cool. I know people say, oh, it's boring. They have 100 different commercials in between every contestant. It's not the best players out there competing. It's not your superstars, guys that should be a part of the All-Star Game weekend like LeBron James. Has never participated in a dunk contest. Steph Curry wasn't out there in the three-point contest. But you did get to see some other skilled players. Kristaps Porzingis and Eric Gordon won the three-point contest. And then Glenn Robinson III from the Pacers won the dunk contest. So nevertheless, some of this was pretty entertaining. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. I mean, it wasn't the greatest and hasn't been the greatest of all time, but it was still entertaining nonetheless. But I think they're going to have to find a way to change up the dunk contest or these skills challenges. I think they're losing viewers, especially when they aren't getting the top guys in the NBA to really dive headfirst into this. Other mentions on the All-Star Game weekend, we figured out Kyrie Irving from the Cavaliers thinks that the Earth is flat. Yeah. Draymond Green touched on the situation, and he also thinks the world is flat. LeBron, he backed up Kyrie Irving's thoughts, saying he could pretty much think whatever he wants. Okay, well, the media was pretty much consumed up until this DeMarcus Cousins trade post the All-Star game reaction. That was the highlight of All-Star game weekend, was Kyrie Irving thinking the world is flat. And you know what? It's interesting. I bounced around from radio station to radio station over the weekend, and I was listening to people talk about this, and it seemed to be headlining everywhere, and from sports radio to newspapers to blogs to websites to Twitter, Facebook, wherever you get your sports information, I guarantee you it was there this weekend. So Kyrie Irving believes that rather than the Earth being a round shape, thinks that some of the pictures are made up by the government, by NASA, that there isn't real physical evidence out there that the world is flat. That's what the media was talking about for the majority of this All-Star weekend down in New Orleans. To me, I don't know. It gave the media something to talk about. It gave us something to talk about. Kind of a stupid topic, but I guess sports is the ultimate entertainment. It's the ultimate reality show for most Americans and most people around the world. So I think bringing this topic through All-Star Game weekend was enough to create hundreds of memes on Twitter, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook reunion. Many thought that this was really hyped up, by the way. This was like hyped up way more than it needed to be. And I think people were like, finally, like, you know, like, let's just get over it. And it will never be over because, number one, Russell Westbrook has too much of an attitude to ever let it be really over. And Kevin Durant really didn't amend things and make things right by saying, you know, having a conversation with either one of them. So this has kind of lingered. And I think you look at what happened. So first quarter of the game, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook are on the floor together after about 6 or 8 minutes. I don't really exactly remember when it happened, but it was in the first quarter. Russell Westbrook comes down the floor. Kevin Durant has the ball. He's on the left side, makes a nice pass to Russell Westbrook and slams it home for the dunk. And it was a moment where a lot of us didn't really think Russell Westbrook was going to pass to Kevin Durant and vice versa. They weren't playing both sides of the court. And they said after there was a timeout, you can find a GIF, you can find a video of this where like the players kind of celebrated on the West side's bench because they were finally like, all right, it's over. It wasn't that big of a deal. It's not that big of a storyline. Like, people were following Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook around, like, videotaping them nonstop. They do that for the most part anyway, but it was so stupid. The headlines like, KD passing Russell Westbrook in the hallway before the game. Like, things like that. Like, get over it. Like, come on. Find something better to talk about than that. This is stupid. But this type of rivalry will either linger on and everybody loves a really good rivalry in sports, or Kevin Durant can make amends with this. And we saw the first step by showing it on the court, and both guys gave the materialistic kind of, I don't know, like the basic answer you would give when stepping on a basketball floor. Oh yeah, it was a good basketball play. That's why we made it and kind of moved on from there. So that was most of the weekend. I think we summed up the weekend pretty well. Up until the DeMarcus Cousins trade, and if you haven't heard by now, then I'm questioning why you're listening to this podcast in the first place, because you should be an NBA fan or a sports fan in general just by listening to know that DeMarcus Cousins was traded to the New Orleans Pelicans in a deal that was struck right after the All-Star game ended. So putting DeMarcus Cousins on the same team as Anthony Davis is a phenomenal move by the Pelicans. But the Kings ultimately the losers in this one. And it's interesting because this impacts the Bulls in some way, in some shape, some form, some way. It impacted the Bulls. First, I want to say it impacted the Bulls by the Bulls having that protected pick. And they've had this pick ever since they traded Luol Deng to the Cleveland Cavaliers back in 2011. They got this protected pick that they've been waiting like 5 years to finally receive, and they still haven't gotten it. And it turns into a second round pick next year if they fall in between 1 and 10. If the Kings fall in between picks number 1 and 10, the Bulls won't get it. They'll lose out. They'll get a second round pick in 2018. That's more than likely going to happen now that DeMarcus Cousins, their best player, the franchise center, is no longer on the team. And the things that they got back were Buddy Hield, Langston Galloway, and Tyreke Evans, and a first round pick that's protected 1 through 3, and a second round pick. So yeah, I guess from what the Kings believe, Buddy Hield can be the next Steph Curry. Yeah. I don't know what Vlade Divac and the owner of the Kings were really thinking here. I know they wanted to get him off the team, and you know, they talked about character and presence that the Kings need. Like, character and presence, really? Ty Lawson's on your team. Matt Barnes is on your team. Like, you talk about character. All right. But if you want to hear more on that, go to the Kings Court podcast on the Almighty Baller Network, and they'll talk more about DeMarcus Cousins' trade. But I really wanted to talk about the pick. First of all, I heard on the radio earlier today that they were talking about this, and they said that the pick wasn't that big of a deal. Actually, it really is a big deal, because this is a loaded draft class. Like, I mean loaded, with guys 1 through, I would say picks 1 through 25 could have a chance at finding a really good player, getting a really good impact player. It's not like some of these drafts before where even in the top 5 you weren't really sure what you were getting. So they said that they were knocking this pick like it wasn't really that big of a deal. It really is a big deal, though, because you want the Bulls to get this pick. You wanted them to have it. Even if it is at 11 to 14, now the thing is who do you trust the guys that are going to be making the picks to make a selection that's actually worthwhile? Probably not. I mean, the last person the Bulls took at 11 was Doug McDermott, and they traded 2 picks to move up to get him. So, and you've seen how that's worked out, and it hasn't worked out that well. So looking at that, I think it also impacts on Jimmy Butler. And so this brings me to the biggest point of them all, is just now that DeMarcus Cousins has landed in New Orleans and Serge Ibaka went to the Raptors, which kind of flustered and kind of shut out any type of rumor that Taj Gibson might be traded to the Raptors. So the Bulls kind of broke that avenue by not trading him there. Now it's really a focus on whether or not Jimmy Butler is going to get moved. And it seems like the only real possibility is to the Celtics. And you look at the Celtics and their lineup and some of the assets that they have, I can't really see the Bulls really pulling the trigger on a Jimmy deal now. It doesn't really make sense. I mean, look at the draft pick. Even if they did include the draft pick, and I saw some places even talking about how the Celtics could land Jimmy Butler without that Brooklyn first pick. Sorry, no, you're not getting Jimmy Butler. You should hang the phone up immediately if you're Gar Foreman or John Paxson. If you're talking about this deal and they say, yeah, we're not going to include the Brooklyn pick, you hang up immediately, you fart in the phone, you do whatever you need to do to tell them you're clearly not interested. It should always start with that first pick. And not to say that the front office really knows what they're doing when they're making these picks, but you can't trade a superstar in the NBA for a bunch of other role players when you're not even going to get young talent back. So it starts with the Brooklyn pick. Then you can surround it and fill it in with whatever guys you want to talk about. I've heard almost every name thrown out there on the Celtics to bring back in the Butler deal, whether it's Crowder, whether it's Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. There's a few other guys on there. I mean, you would have to package 1, 2, or 3 types of guys plus a couple picks in order to even have this conversation. And if you're really, what you're really trying to do if you trade Jimmy Butler is an obvious rebuild here, then it's a full force rebuild, and it's more likely going to happen once we know exactly where that Brooklyn pick falls. If you trade Jimmy right now, you still have the uncertainty that you won't get the number one pick, that you won't get Markel Fultz, and that's the surefire guy. If you're going to trade Jimmy, that's the guy you want. That's for sure the guy you want. If you get 2, 3, 4, 5, okay, it's good, but was it really worth trading Jimmy Butler when there is potential to build around him? So I don't really know. My biggest guess is they're going to wait, and what they do more often than not, what Gar Paxson does more often than not is wait around, and they wait and they wait and they wait, and more times than not, other things fall in place and this team really loses out. So I don't know. I don't see really a Jimmy Butler deal coming down. in the wire in the next 72 hours up until Thursday. I don't see it happening. But there are some other moves that the Bulls really could make, and it might not exactly excite you that much, but let's take a look at it. So I've heard a lot of Jahlil Okafor rumors, and we saw maybe last week that Jahlil Okafor was rumored, that the Bulls have been talking with them, and the Celtics even were talking with them, and the talks have continued here. I mean, in the last few days, in a return to Chicago for Jahlil Okafor, because you know how much the Bulls just love their hometown hero. And if Dwayne Wade walks away next year, the Jahlil Okafor filler of the hometown kid, we can cheer for the guy that grew up in Chicago. We can talk about that then.
I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home.
The rumors about Jahlil Okafor, I mean, I looked at his stats, and from someone who doesn't, you know, someone who doesn't watch the NBA a whole lot, maybe they watch college basketball more, or maybe they're just a casual fan. You hear the name Jahlil Okafor, you know that he went in the first round. He was the third overall pick in 2015. He played at Duke. He was supposed to be this perennial all-star, this surefire win for the 76ers. So I'm kind of curious why the Bulls would want him. Like I said, maybe it's the hometown effect. Maybe they still think he's got a shot at being something more than 11.4 points per game and 4.8 rebounds per game. He's only 21 too, so I feel like a lot of people have already given up on him, and I know a lot of Bulls fans, a lot of people on Twitter have already said, please God, don't trade Jahlil Okafor to the Bulls. If you're not going to give up that much, I say, why not? What possibly could hurt the Bulls by trading him if you're not going to give up a lot? But I know the 76ers came at the Bulls and said, we want Denzel Valentine and possibly protected first round pick. To me, you don't do that either. You hang up the phone. First of all, Denzel Valentine can't even get on the court. For some reason, they don't want to play him this year. And he goes down to the Windy City Bulls and lights it up. And then it's like, all right, our number 14 pick in the draft is playing in the D League and scoring 30 a night. But yet he can't get time on the floor with a team that's playing mediocre as hell. So it's confusing. And so if they bring Jahlil Okafor in and they're not going to trade Denzel Valentine, then who do you give up to try and get Jahlil Okafor? And obviously you don't want to spend that much because he's in his second year. He's not playing particularly well. He's averaging a career 15 points, 6.1 rebounds. This year he's kind of dipped off from where he was last year. But I don't know. He's got injury-prone problems, too, and there's also a character effect, too. I know a lot of people talked about when you look at the draft and you look at the guys that the Bulls are really high on, they're always high on really, you know, prestigious college guys that, you know, broke records at their college and were standout character guys. Jahlil Okafor is not really a standout character type of guy. I mean, did we all forget the brawl he was a part of? I believe it was last year in a Boston bar when he got called out and ended up knocking a dude out. So those are the types of things that I weigh too. I mean, I don't know, coming home to Chicago, where do you place him then? You're already not giving Bobby Portis time, and rightfully deserved. Bobby Portis doesn't deserve minutes at this point. I mean, he looks lost as hell. So you kind of are battling and juggling all these different options. I don't really know what the Bulls would do with Okafor as far as floor time. I mean, I don't know. Ultimately, Jahlil Okafor, I think, going to the 76ers and telling them, hey, you know, we're interested in Okafor, but you're not allowed to have Denzel Valentine. And then the thought of trading a first-round pick for him, too, I think is even more nonsense than keeping the first round pick. So the Bulls want to get younger, more athletic. Trading for Jahlil Okafor will do one of the two things. He's not a great defender. He doesn't shoot the three, and that's what the Bulls desperately need. So if the Bulls don't get Jahlil Okafor, and maybe they still want him, I think it was interesting somebody brought up the possibility that the Celtics try and trade for him and then package him in a deal with Jimmy Butler. That could be a possibility. I mean, that's not out of the realm of a scope, but to me, I don't think Jimmy moves anywhere. I don't think the Bulls land Okafor, and if they do, they're probably going to give up a first-round pick, and that's not necessarily what you want to do. So then you turn to other guys like maybe like Robin Lopez, maybe like Taj Gibson, maybe even like Doug McDermott. Guys that still have some potential value that the Bulls could flip. Robin Lopez has had a nice year. He's regressed a little bit in the last month, in the last 6 weeks or so, but he's had a nice year, and I think he could be definitely be a contributor on another team, especially a playoff team that's looking to get bypass the first or the second round of the playoffs, maybe even further. So I think that's interesting too. He's averaging 9.8 points per game, 6.9 rebounds, and he's is player efficiency ratings at around 15. Like I said, he regressed from how he was doing beforehand, but could be a player that the Bulls move. They're asking for a first round pick for both McDermott and or Robin Lopez. I don't see any team giving up a first round pick for either of those guys. Maybe Doug McDermott, but I mean, you'd have to fool a team to try and trade McDermott for a first round pick. Yeah, he was a first round pick at a number 11 a couple years ago, but he hasn't played up to that type of potential, and he has no defense. He hasn't really shown that he can shoot the three with consistency either. So what's really his value to any other team? So I keep spinning the wheel on all of these players, and I keep finding one main theme in all of it. What is the other team getting out of these players that the Bulls are giving up? Outside Butler and Wade, I mean, really, you don't have a lot of value on this team. We talk about Mirotić, too. They could try and move Mirotić for a first-round pick, but I don't really know who's going to do that either. He's got 1 year left on his contract, and he's a free agent after this year. I mean, are the Bulls going to re-sign him to a long-term deal? He's going to want big money. Yeah, he doesn't deserve big money, but he's going to want big money. Taj Gibson's the same thing. He's gonna want, you know, big time money. I don't think he's gonna re-sign with the Bulls. So that's a type of player that you should really try and flip at this deadline. Before everything's said and done, why not? I had a question from a Bulls fan. Somebody asked me what they're gonna do with Michael Carter Williams, because obviously it's not working out here. Yeah, and he's been more than just awful. He can't score. They brought him in maybe thinking that, you know, winning the Rookie of the Year, they could somehow change him and turn him into maybe a guy off the bench that could come on and play some big minutes. But that's not really going to happen. So I don't know what they're going to do. They have a lot of players that are kind of like, I don't really know what you're going to do with them. Isaiah Cannon, the dude was brought in to be a three-point specialist, and he's not a three-point specialist. He struggles at the line. I mean, I think he's having his worst three-point shooting year of his entire career. So there's a lot of players on this team that are just like, you're thinking to yourself, all right, what are you going to do here? Another really interesting point before I wrap this whole trade deadline thing up, and we're going to talk more this week. I'm going to talk, especially with Matt Peck, about why and where what the Bulls might do during the next 72 hours or so, and see kind of where, what direction they're moving in. But like I said, I look up and down this roster, and I honestly don't know what other teams would benefit from trading with the Bulls. If you're not giving up Valentine and you want a first round pick for McDermott and you want a first round pick for Robin Lopez, some of these other guys, I mean, you're also going to have to factor in salaries too. Robin Lopez is making $13.2 million for the next 3 years. So you're going to have to find a team that's willing to take that on. You could try and flip Rondo too. I mean, obviously there hasn't been much interest in him either. So it'll be interesting what the Bulls do and what Gar packs. Ultimately, I think the Bulls probably will stand pat. I wouldn't be surprised if one player gets traded and maybe they capitalize on something like that. But more than likely, I don't see the Bulls making any type of big time move here. With that being said, if you want any Bulls memorabilia, you can head to steinersports.com. Steiner Sports is the leading producer of authentic sports memorabilia and hand-signed collectibles. From game-used jerseys to autographed pictures and so much more, whether you're looking to add something to your man cave or simply want to continue your collection, Steiner Sports is you covered. When listening to this show or any other show on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, you can use the promo code Almighty, A-L-M-I-G-H-T-Y, at checkout, and you'll receive 20% off at checkout, 20% off anything on steinersports.com. Since 1987, Steiner Sports has been the leading producer of sports memorabilia. So I want to finish this podcast up by talking about a couple other things around the NBA, one being that the Timberwolves I've seen in the last couple of days, the Timberwolves have checked in on two former Bulls that are no longer with them, one being Tony Snell, which I think is hilarious, and the other being Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose, the Timberwolves have checked in on him. I know some people have looked at maybe draft picks, something to turn the Bulls back. But I think it's hilarious that Tom Thibodeau is trying to recreate what he had here between like 2010 and 2013 with the Bulls, and maybe trying to add to those pieces that he's got in Minnesota. So I don't know. Would it be so funny to see Derrick Rose or Tony Snell playing again underneath Thibodeau? I mean, Thibodeau's pushed for a lot of these guys that he had on the Bulls before getting fired, and a Derrick Rose in a Timberwolves jersey, I don't know what kind of impact he's going to have on that team, but I mean, it couldn't hurt. I mean, playing with Andrew Wiggins, playing with Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, it certainly couldn't hurt. Maybe they can figure out a deal with the Knicks, but speaking of the Knicks, isn't it funny that the Knicks and the Kings make the Bulls look like they're the brightest franchise in the NBA right now? I mean, between the Charles Oakley thing that happened with the Knicks last week, and then now the Kings making some awful trades, and then coming out admitting that they had better offers and they didn't take them, and they took the worst offer probably in the NBA in the last decade at least. I can't even think of a trade right now off the top of my head that's even worse than this, but looking at those trades, it's funny that the Bulls are just kind of sitting back and being like, yeah, hey, it's Chicago ain't that bad. I mean, Chicago's not bad. Looking at Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler calling the players out in the locker room for not having any fight a few weeks ago, and now it's a laughing matter when you look at the Kings or you look at the Knicks organization. So the Bulls are right up there with them, though. I mean, embarrassing franchises. Forbes put out their most valuable franchises in the NBA and what they were valued at. The Bulls were number four on that list. They were evaluated slightly higher than they were last year. So the fourth most valuable franchise in the NBA has to be top five and most embarrassing right now. I mean, besides the Kings and the Knicks, I can't really think of any other teams that are in the direction that the Bulls have, or the chaos that the Bulls have had this season. So that brings up my final point for this episode in talking about the value of the Bulls and talking about where this team stands. If the Bulls make the playoffs, I feel like the front office thinks that this is a success. This is exactly what they wanted to do. When they signed Dwayne Wade, when they signed Rondo, their goal was to make the playoffs, whether it was the sixth, seventh, or eighth seed, maybe middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference. I feel like the Bulls would say that this year was more of a success than it was a failure. They're selling tickets, and many of the Bulls reporters, like Nick Friedell on ESPN, has been tweeting the last few games that the Bulls are selling tickets, but the United Center is like half empty when people are going now. People are losing interest, and they're losing interest quick. And I think it's interesting that the Dwayne Wade flair is kind of wearing off in Chicago already. And maybe that has something to do with him and Jimmy doing this planned call out of the team and the direction, that there's no real direction, that this team isn't really that exciting to watch. I think ultimately, though, the Bulls will think this season is a success if they can somehow find their way into a playoff series, you know, whether it's, you know, a first round series. And wouldn't it be funny if they ended up with the seventh seed or the eighth seed or the sixth seed, and they ended up playing Toronto in the first round? The Bulls have beat Toronto 10 straight times. The Bulls haven't lost to the Raptors since 2013. So I think it would be such a typical Bulls move to play Toronto in the first round and then end up beating them in the first round. And then we have this huge, you know, Jimmy Butler stan where, you know, oh, Dwayne Wade's going to come back, even if they lose in the second round of the playoffs. Oh, Dwayne Wade's going to come back. Jimmy Butler's going to come back. Look at what we did in the playoffs. We knocked off the Raptors, blah, blah, blah. It's all just made up scenario. But wouldn't it be funny if the Bulls ended up doing that? And then the front office would be like, hey, see, it wasn't all for nothing. We won a playoff round. So I don't know. This direction of this team is interesting, to say the least. And my final thought with trade deadline and everything else going on is I don't think the Bulls are going to make any move. And if I think the most likely move I could see them making is acquiring Jahlil Okafor, and I really hope that they don't overpay for him, but we'll see. The next few days should be interesting. The next time the Bulls play is against the Cavaliers on Thursday night, I believe. So we'll get a taste of LeBron James coming off the All-Star break. And I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but now that the Bulls are sitting pretty much only one game under 500, I hope they at least make the playoffs, give me something a little bit extra to watch, and two more weeks of basketball before they shut it down in Chicago for the year. And then we can really periscope and look at where Jimmy Butler will land. But I think that's about it for the Debatables. You can follow me on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, JordanCMalley on Twitter. You can follow the Debatables on Twitter as well at Debatables. And we're going to have another podcast this week. We're going to be talking with Sports Mockery's Matt Peck. And he wrote an interesting article on the Bulls, and I'm going to break that all down. I'm going to ask him a bunch of questions, and we're going to really talk and get into in depth about this team. And I want to ask him about the trade deadline as well. So stay tuned for that. That'll be released on Wednesday or Thursday of this week. Otherwise, go follow us on Twitter. Make sure you're subscribing to us on iTunes. But for the Debatables podcast, my name is Jordan Malley. Thank you so much for listening. I'm out. Deuces.